we are going to get right after it. One of my biggest favorite pet peeves in the entire state, PARA, the Public Employees Retirement Association. And it has the potential to basically bankrupt the state of Colorado. So here to talk more about it and to tell us what is happening most recently, Walker Stapleton, who is the state treasurer for the state of Colorado. Walker, welcome back to Grassroots Radio.
Hey, Ken, Jason, always good to be on with you guys.
Great to have you back. So what, there was actually a little bit of movement on the lawsuit today for you to actually, I don't, just an idea here, the treasurer of the state of Colorado be able to actually see inside the books of one of its largest problems.
Why would we want to do
exactly.
that?
Exactly. And I wish I could report that it went swimmingly. But the questions from the judges at the Supreme Court, or at the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, excuse me, seem to indicate a couple of disturbing trends. Number one, they basically said that I had not specifically asked for one piece of information. This is the argument that PARA made to them. And because of that, you know, I could have simply asked how many members of the system were left-handed, and that because I hadn't done an effective job of clarifying one specific reason, I was just fishing for any information for the heck of it, which I view to be a fairly ridiculous argument to make, given the fact that we're dealing here with a pension fund that is $20 billion, if not more, in debt, and is already bankrupt. And my purpose in requesting this information in the past has always been the fact that we must have transparency of financial information in this state with regard to the pension system in order for people to recognize what a big problem we have on our hands and to do something about it. And in the absence of transparent financial information, this problem is going to get swept under the rug time and time again because people are going to deny that there's a problem. And so this has always been about the transparency of information and the ultimate solvency of our pension fund. And as long as the pension fund can continue through the courts or through, you know, repression of board members to release this information in a transparent manner, Colorado and the future generations of Coloradans are the ones that are going to end up losing out.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, Walker, but don't you sit on that board? Aren't you, as the Colorado State Treasurer and a statewide elected official, don't you sit on that board?
Right, and the argument that they, in fact, I'm the only elected official on that board by law, the only one. Of all the other 14 board members, I'm the only person that sits on that board by law, by virtue of the fact of being the treasurer of Colorado. Another argument that they made against me today, and that they have made against me in the past, is the fact that I am operating as a quote-unquote rogue board member who would not be operating in the best interest of the PARA members. And my point of view is, look, this is a system that's bankrupt. This is a system that's not going to be able to keep its promises to younger members, to new members of the system. Just because they're promised X on their retirement sheet doesn't mean that if the plan becomes insolvent, they're going to get X. They might get Y, and Y might be a lot less than they thought they were going to get. So my concern is for the future members of the plan and whether the plan is going to be able to sustain itself. That's a different concern, clearly, of the majority of PARA board members who have kind of gone along with the company line that nothing's wrong with the plan, but I think it's no less valid.
Well,
I think it's even more valid.
So I am curious, though, do the other board members, do they have access to this information?
No. This information, one of the crazy things about this whole legal case, guys, is that this information has never been requested before. And my common sense conclusion is, well, why with a system that is bleeding red ink, that is fully bankrupt, that has a debt that is the size of Colorado's entire budget in 1 year alone, why haven't the tough questions been asked? And why hasn't the data been requested in the past? Because in the absence of data, trustees and board members of the plan are completely flying blind. How are you supposed to make any judgments about what to do to fix the system in the absence of any data? You're not able to.
Treasurer Stapleton, let me just jump in. Are there three members of the board that are monkeys, one with its eyes covered, one with his ears covered, and one with his mouth covered? Because
right.
I'm kind of having a problem with that. If the board, you're right, if the board doesn't actually know the numbers, why the hell are they on the board?
Right, exactly. And furthermore, how could they function as a responsible member of the board and contributing member of the board in the absence of any financial data and information. And the fact that they have in this state for many, many years prior to my coming into office should be incredibly alarming to people.
That I find that just phenomenal. I mean, that's like the board of directors of a corporation that's not allowed to read a K-1.
Right.
Or an annual report.
Or access any financial information.
Yeah.
About that company's retirement plan.
They'd be out of business
and
pretty
then
quick.
Yet they are the ones that are making the decisions. They're voting on major issues that have to do with the retirement association.
Right.
Yet they have no data to make any decisions upon.
That's right.
That's unbelievable.
Sort of substantive conclusions.
You know what's interesting, Walker? I had no idea. I did not know that. That is a piece of information I didn't know. I was assuming, I guess, that they were just trying to deny you all this information, but nobody on the board has it, and they don't seem to be concerned. Nobody else cares.
And exactly, and they haven't in the past, which should tell you that effectively there's plenty of people that are happy to fly blind and to rubber stamp what the executives of the plan want them to rubber stamp. And the other argument, which I love this one, another argument that they made against me today is that I'm simply interested in getting the information for partisan political purposes. And that couldn't be further from the truth either. I mean, given my background, I'm blessed to have an MBA, also a degree in economics. I have a financial background. I'm not asking for this information. I'm asking for this information because I'm concerned about the solvency of the plan, and I want to rectify it before it causes the state a massive bankruptcy bill at the city and school district level. I'm not asking for this. You know, if I was operating politically, I'd keep my head down and wouldn't do anything, which a lot of politicians in this state seem to have a lot of success doing.
Well, I kind of wonder.
I've got nothing but grief for this request. And another quick thing to share with you guys, as I'm thinking about how crazy this whole experience has been and this adventure, is that I was at a treasurer's conference last year in Alaska, and the treasurer of Oregon came up to me. This guy is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and he said, "I've been following your case as the treasurer of Colorado, and it doesn't make sense to me how the treasurer of Colorado has to go through the court system in order to get financial information, because in Oregon we have such strong sunshine laws on the books that anybody can pick up the newspaper and find out what a member of the public pension system makes. And by the way, those laws were put into place by Democrats in our legislature. And yet in Colorado, we're operating in the dark ages where I have to actually go to court as the sitting treasurer of the state and the only board member by law to simply get financial information for me as a board member to make an educated decision about how to fix the plan."
Walker, it almost seems as if you could go into the court and make the argument that the other board members are acting as rogue board members because they don't have the information.
Right. Right.
You know, it's if you operated an investment bank this way or a mutual fund this way, the SEC would be so far up to your backside, you would be in jail. I mean, this is Bernie Madoff caliber of incompetence. Walker, I'd like to ask you to stay on the line. We're going to be right back right after this.
We're back in stunned silence. You are listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado, Jason and Ken, and we have State Treasurer Walker Stapleton on the line. And while we are pretty informed folks, and we know a lot about PARA, Public Employees Retirement Association, but the stunned silence from the two of us is because we just found out that the board doesn't even have access to the actual details financials of PARA.
Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is the board of directors of PARA, the Public Employees Retirement Association. They do not get the numbers, yet it is this same board that didn't like the rate of return that they had projected themselves on the assets that are actually in the plan. So they arbitrarily decided, well, not arbitrarily, they hired some guy to go out there and do a study. They had it at around, oh, I don't know, what was it, 7%, something like that. They weren't getting enough return on their investment. So they pulled a number out of the air, which was closer to 8, and they based the entire projections of the entire plan based on that number. Yet they had no numbers to go on. They had absolutely no idea what was happening. Walker, this was nuts.
Numbers, they did have some numbers to go on. They had numbers to go on by the financial experts that PARA hired to assess the data, but they didn't have any independent assessment of the data themselves.
Well, these are the same Yahoos, Walker, that came out and said, okay, we don't have enough projected rate of return coming, so we're going to up the projected rate of return. Now, I would challenge anyone out there to find an investment-grade marketable security right now paying 8%. Show it
exactly.
To me.
Exactly. And this is, you know, this is, guys, we've talked about this a lot over, it seems like years now for me. I feel like I'm getting more gray hairs by the day dealing with this issue because of how the special interests are so immovable on this and so refusing to change. And, it's the ultimate haves versus have-nots. The people that have on this thing are happy to keep on having and maintain the status quo and damn the consequences for everybody else. Damn the consequences for younger public workers, damn the consequences for new public workers, damn the consequences for our kids, for their kids, until there's a financial calamity. And it's frustrating to have to fight against that entrenched special interest of I'm going to protect what's mine. I don't care if I was given it for the right or wrong reasons. I don't care what the financial ramifications of my being given it are, but I'm going to protect it, and everybody else can go fish. I mean, it's just an incredibly short-sighted, disingenuous, financially destructive way to think about something.
Well, not only that, and you are listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. We have Colorado State Treasurer Walker Stapleton on the line. We are talking about PARA. But Walker, not only is that disingenuous, but it puts the burden on the entire body of taxpayers in the state of Colorado, which could, in fact, bankrupt this state. I mean, take a look at California, take a look at Michigan, take a look at the list of states who have bankrupted themselves with this kind of defined benefit pension plan is huge.
And this education reform bill, which I would encourage your listeners, I had two very favorable op-eds. I ran one in the Colorado Springs Gazette 10 days ago. Then just last week, the editorial board called me a financial genius, which most of my friends will tell you is definitely not true. They'd laugh, but I'll take it. And they said that what the argument that I've been making is exactly the right one, and that is there's people that are dead set on going to the ballot this November to ask Colorado taxpayers to pay $1.3 billion more in education, a 33% increase in our education spending, and yet not a single line of this education reform bill has to do with the pension system. And yet if the pension system spirals out of control, it will be the biggest cost driver at the school district level that causes this money not to go into the classrooms, not to go to better computers or better lunches for your school children, but to be diverted to backfill obligations and liabilities in an unsustainable retirement system in our state.
Well, make no mistake about it. There are 22 different proposals, 22 different ballot initiatives that they have to choose from. We don't know which one they're going to pick yet. They range in cost to the taxpayers from anywhere from $980 million to $2.4 billion. Yep. And that's what we're going to be voting on. Now, Walker, would you mind taking a call?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Paul from Aurora. He has a question for you. Paul, welcome to Grassroots Radio.
Thanks, gentlemen.
So what have you got for our Colorado State Treasurer?
Well, my wife belongs to PARA. She's invested about 18 years. She is a PARA educator, so she's kind of low on the list for retirement benefits and so on. I've heard this discussion on Grassroots many times. Hate to say it, but we're kind of preaching to the choir on this situation. You know, and listening here, I've heard a couple of points about what we can do to solve things. But, you know, as an individual who has a wife that's invested, I'm just real curious. What is it that we as the taxpayers, the people here in Colorado, can do to help get this thing turned around?
Hold on, Paul. Let Walker Stapleton answer that question first.
Yes, sir. Yeah, let me just tell you. Thank you for your question. The first is when there's a ballot initiative in November that asks you to pay more money in taxes, which is an investment that you ultimately are making in the future of Colorado schools. To demand, if you're going to be asked to make that investment, that people show you the full balance sheet and not a partial balance sheet. And by that, I mean they're trying to tell you that this money is going to go to improve the schools and is not going to be diverted into the pension system. But ultimately, it's a bait and switch. It would be like my offering you an investment and only showing you part of my liabilities on my balance sheet. I'm not giving you the full picture. And we have to. It is in your wife's interest as a member of the plan. It's in your interest as someone who I'm sure cares about the future of education in Colorado to demand that we structurally reform this system before it goes bankrupt. Because if it goes bankrupt, the cost to taxpayers, the cost to our cities all across the state, the cost to our school districts are going to be monumental, and they're going to reverberate for years to come. And we need to be better than that in Colorado. We need to roll up our sleeves and get to work and honestly fix this problem.
Paul, let me answer the question in a different way. We actually do have a treasurer who's willing to address this, but one of the problems is we don't have a legislature willing to address it. That may be one of the bigger problems.
Yep. That's very true. We do not have a legislature willing to address it, and we don't have a governor so far that seems willing to address it.
No, we don't. And, Paul, I want to thank you for the call. Thank you for calling into Grassroots Radio. But, Walker, you bring up, and Jason, you bring up a very good point. We have had para-reform bills that have been floated over and over and over again. We have tried very desperately, and we've even had Republicans blocking these bills. And all you really have to, thank God some of them are gone. But Walker, correct me if I'm wrong, but all you really have to do is go into a defined contribution plan, which is what the rest of the world has. Maybe use some matching funds, et cetera, keep the promises that you've made to those that are in the defined benefit plan, and you can solve this problem pretty quick, right?
Yeah, and there's even hybrid solutions, guys. Like the city of San Jose, which is an anecdotal example I tell, there's a Democrat mayor in San Jose. He basically had to create a ballot provision regarding the pension system because the public pension obligations last fall had bankrupted the city of San Jose and were going to in the future. And in California, unlike Colorado, they too have a transparency of information. So people can actually see the scope of the problem. And the key, guys, is that transparency of information leads public policymakers to have to take on results because you can't deny numbers. So in California, the ballot initiative that was put forward by the Democrat mayor said to one of two things. It said, number one, you can go into a defined contribution plan and invest for your own retirement. However, you can also stay in a defined benefit plan if you're willing to pay in at a much higher number. They were paying in at about 8.5%. They said now you have to pay in at 13.5%. So you have to pay in an extra 5% of your salary to be part of a pension system which will guarantee you a defined benefit, pension benefit of 7.5%. This ballot initiative passed by more than 70% in San Jose, which is not exactly a bastion of conservative idealism. The point being is that if you take that into account, 13.5% of city workers in San Jose for a guaranteed pension benefit of 7.5%, 13.5% of their salary in Colorado, the average public worker pays in at only 8% for a guarantee of 8%. That means we're making more outsized promises than even the city of San Jose, which has gone bankrupt because of unsustainable pension obligations.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to Treasurer Walker Stapleton right now, and you are a taxpayer in the state of Colorado, you should be nervous.
No, you should be very, very upset, and you should be damn afraid, because this problem is going to come back, and we are going to have to pay the piper at some point. So you're going to have two choices. For those union members out there that are listening, for those of you that are on para right now, if you're listening, the state of Colorado, if nothing changes, is going to have to make a very difficult choice. Number one, they're going to have to tax us into oblivion, or a combination of taxes, and they're not going to be able to fulfill their promise, their obligation to you in the form of a defined benefit pension plan. So you're not going to get what they told you.
And they don't have the first clue how to fulfill the promise, not the first clue. So anybody that's a member of the system that thinks just because they're hog-tied to this plan at 8% that it's going to be good on retirement day, you could find out with the stroke of a legislative pen that you have another thing coming altogether.
Yeah, that is just amazing. And what kills me is these people that are going, gimme, 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 they don't realize that, you know, you cannot take what isn't there. If this thing dries up and does crater the way I expect it to, where are they going to go? Where's their trough going to be?
And you guys are exactly right. This problem is not going away. This problem is only getting worse and worse. The only thing that we're experiencing now is the passage of time. If you look how reform has taken place in other states, if you look at Illinois or California, unfortunately, it's only taken place after a school district's gone bankrupt or a city's gone bankrupt, or the state's credit has been impacted. I had hoped that we would be in a position, as I've been shouting about this thing now for years, to address this proactively. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. And I don't mean to be some guy going around trying to depress people or be a doomsday. I'm just being honest with people that at some point we are going to have a financial calamity as a result of the system that we've set up in this state.
Well, you're being responsible, which last time I checked is what we elected you to do. So you know what? We will have you on over and over and over again. This is an issue that we will keep pounding. I've got a finance background just like you, Walker, and so we're going to be after it. And we really appreciate the work.
Thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll be right back.